The Old Testament reading for the day of Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain, the land of Shinar, and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower which its top is in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in these last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." This is the Gospel of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is a person. Well, yeah, I mean, you know that, or at least you should know that. And you rightly have been taught from the Holy Scriptures that the Holy Spirit is fully God. He is the third person of the Holy Trinity, as there is one God in three persons. And so, like the other persons of the Trinity, the Father and the Son, he is due your worship, your reverence. The Hymn of the Day by Martin Luther that we sang a few minutes ago is a prayer to the Holy Spirit, to call upon him to hear and answer you as only God can do, and as only God does. So the Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. So why bring this up? Well, even though you know who the Holy Spirit is, it's tempting for us to not always confess him as such in our lives, to forget his person, to forget his office, his work. Yet when you listen to these words of Jesus here in the Gospel reading, you see there is great comfort in knowing who the Holy Spirit is and what he does. There's great comfort because the Holy Spirit is at work in your midst. And you are his people. So Sundays like this in the church year, these festival days, lend themselves well for you to learn, that you may be comforted and confess this faith we have before the world around us. All too often, we are influenced by other things rather than hearing God's word and confessing what he teaches. So with that in mind, if someone were to ask you the question, you're going out today and somebody says today was the day of Pentecost and it's about the Holy Spirit, if you were to say, what do you mean when you confess, I believe in the Holy Spirit? Well, the answer that you give as a Christian is simple. I believe the Holy Spirit makes me holy. Now that may sound like a snarky answer, but that's what he does. By his work, you are truly holy indeed. So first and foremost, if it weren't for the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't know Christ. You wouldn't have salvation given to you. Salvation has been accomplished by Jesus. It is finished as he is proclaimed on the cross. So in 1 Corinthians 2, God teaches you, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. That is, they're meaningless, they're nothingness to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So on your own, you can't know and understand the things of God. Sin has caused this after the fall, and no human being can accept the things of God. Rather, they are folly to him. They're foolishness in our sight. Sin has brought about our lacking a right fear, a right knowledge, and a right trust of God. And what it has done is it has replaced those things with hostility, with unbelief. This is why we make such a big deal, too, about rejecting a false teaching like decision theology, for instance, where one accepts Jesus into his heart, because that can't happen. If you say you can do that, Then you have to ask questions about how are you taking sin? Are you taking sin seriously? Well, then, if you don't take sin seriously and all of its ramifications, then you don't take Jesus and his work seriously. And then you rob the Holy Spirit of his right and dutiful work. He is the comforter. He is the Spirit of truth. He comforts you and leads you into the truth. And he does all of this through the Word of God, you who were conceived and born into sin. And so it's no wonder then the Holy Spirit is a preacher. This is how he works. It's how he's always worked. God the Holy Spirit preaches. For you have neither a spiritless word nor a wordless spirit. The Holy Scriptures are his voice. They are his very breath. The Holy Spirit is attached to the Word of God, and through this Word of God he preaches. And the content of this preaching is what you've been hearing the past few Sundays in the gospel readings. He preaches repentance and the forgiveness of sins, law and gospel. And not only that, but this is how he works it through the same word. He works repentance. He forgives as he delivers the salvation accomplished by Jesus. So the Holy Spirit preaches, and you have Christ and his benefits. So it really is that simple when it comes to knowing and understanding the Holy Spirit, and really the whole Christian faith. The Holy Spirit preaches, it's how he does it and through his word. So when you forget this or deny this, then you run into all kinds of problems in the church and even in your lives in Christ. So the Holy Spirit isn't some power, some force, or motivation. Neither is he arrogant or self-promoting. He's the paraclete, the one who calls you alongside to himself and gives you Christ. He's the one who says, don't look at me, look to the one who is the crucified one, the one who has risen for you. Look to Jesus and have what he has done for you. So the Holy Spirit makes you holy by revealing to you the things of God and by giving you faith in Christ, believing God's word. He saves you, making you holy by giving you Jesus and the salvation he has accomplished for you. Jesus said in the gospel reading, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So you see, this is the Holy Spirit, God himself, a person, sent to do this work in your midst, to make you holy and hand over the holy things of God to you. Now, if someone then were to ask, how does the Holy Spirit make you holy? You confess what you confess in the creeds, by the Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. So this is where the creeds, which confess what the scriptures teach you as you confess the Christian faith in the world, they can be a go-to for you as you confess the faith. The creeds can be a tool of confessing the faith in your life. They form your thoughts as you confess this faith in the world. Don't be afraid of giving answer to people when they ask you questions, of reciting the creed and unpacking what those words say. Really, it becomes less intimidating. And you're standing with the whole church in this confession. You're not alone confessing the Christian faith. My grandpa, the second Boyd, he would always have the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses knock on his door. He always had tracts ready for them to give them, and he'd invite them in. My grandpa, we would always joke, could talk to a wall and be his best friend. But he would invite them in and he'd start confessing the creed. So in the nicest way, my grandpa could only do it, that he would just say the creeds to them and just flabbergast them. But he was confessing this faith. You're not alone in this confession. The Christian faith is yours, but it's also a corporate thing. You're part of the body of Christ. It's not just yourself. The Holy Spirit has called you. He gives you, through the Word of God, the answer to speak the confession of who you are in Christ. You are his child. So think about that right now. You are receiving the work of the Holy Spirit. And you also saw the work of the Holy Spirit a few minutes ago as Reese was called out of the darkness into the marvelous light of Christ. His sin was washed away and eternal salvation was given to him. So this is why talking about the Holy Spirit not only goes together with the Word of God, but it's connected and intertwined with the Christian church, which is formed, created, and sustained by the Holy Spirit. In the Large Catechism, Martin Luther sums this up well when he writes, everything, therefore, in the Christian church is ordered toward this goal. We shall daily receive in the church nothing but the forgiveness of sin through the word and sacraments to comfort and encourage our consciences as long as we live here. So even though we have sins, the grace of the Holy Spirit does not allow them to harm us. For we are in the Christian church, where there is nothing but continuous, uninterrupted forgiveness of sin. This is because God forgives us, and because we forgive, bear with, and help one another. But outside of this Christian church, where the gospel is not found, there is no forgiveness. Also there can be no holiness. Therefore, all who seek and wish to earn holiness, not through the gospel and forgiveness of sins, but by their works, have expelled and severed themselves from this church. So in this world, you walk through it as those who are made holy by God. Yet your old sinful flesh still tries to tear you away from the Lord. But the new life that you have in Christ is a holy one, and you are called to walk in it, in all that is true, good, and beautiful. Jesus said in the gospel reading, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the words that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." So called to faith in Christ by the Holy Spirit through the word and the sacraments, this is a thing for you to hear and take seriously, just as Jesus says in this reading. You have been made holy, and believing in Jesus and loving him goes hand in hand with keeping these words. There's not to be a disconnect that says on the one hand, well, I love Jesus, and then the other lives a life contrary to the scriptures, what Jesus teaches. That's not who God has called you to be. The Holy Spirit creates in you a new and right spirit that desires to hear and keep the words of Jesus and live this new holy life that has been given to you. He works in you to repent of your sin and then produces a new holy life as a fruit of the gospel. So the Holy Spirit makes you holy. The Holy Spirit helps you to live as he has created you to be. And so in this life, you are also heading toward the grave as flesh grows weary, decays, and gets one step closer to death. But remember, you are a holy people. And as such, the Holy Spirit points you to what is to come. The Holy Spirit is pointing you to the day when you will rise from the dead. So as you are in this world, you cling to those promises that your Lord has redeemed you and you have eternal life. So as a holy one called by the Holy Spirit, you know that your body is going to rise from the grave. That's your future. The Holy Spirit makes you holy. You are his holy people in this life and even into eternal life. So summarizing the work of the Holy Spirit, again, Luther writes in the Large Catechism, "Now this is the article of the creed that must always be and remain in use. For we have already received creation, redemption too is finished. But the Holy Spirit carries on his work without ceasing to the last day. For that purpose, he has appointed a congregation upon earth by which he speaks and does everything. For he has not yet brought together all his Christian church or granted all forgiveness. Therefore we believe in him who daily brings us into the fellowship of this Christian church through the word. Through the same word and the forgiveness of sins he bestows, increases and strengthens faith. So when he has done it all, and we abide in this and die to the world and to all evil, he will finally make us perfectly and forever holy. Even now we expect this in faith through the word." So dear people of God, listen to the words of Jesus again. "But the Holy Spirit, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Let those words sink in that your Lord speaks to you. Be encouraged on this day of Pentecost because you belong to Jesus. You are his holy people. You are the communion of saints, and he is your God. Amid everything that is life on this side of the grave and in this veil of tears, suffering, bearing crosses, facing persecution, illness, and everything in between, Jesus says you have peace, and he means it. You have it. Your sin is forgiven and you have eternal life. Jesus is crucified for you, and you will be with him forever, even in your own physical body. Always remember that. Always cling to that. Listen to God's word and treasure it. So the Lord's peace is yours this very day. Real peace, forgiveness, life, salvation. And not only that, but there's a confidence and a certainty in the peace of Jesus. That's the wonderful thing you see here at Pentecost. You know and see that God is working in your life when you have his word and sacraments. And this is where you find him for you. So you aren't scattered about, tossed back and forth when it comes to the Christian faith. He doesn't leave you wondering whether you are his own or if you have Christ. You don't find the gospel apart from the means of grace. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a preacher, and he sanctifies you. You are holy. You are a saint. And so you have been called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God himself, is your helper, your comforter, your advocate. And all these things he gives to you. He gives you Christ. He gives you his benefits. What a joy then it is to know and have all of this as the holy people, the holy Christian church. It's so simple, but so profound. You're not left wondering and wandering like an orphan who does not have a father or a home. No, you know who you are. The Holy Spirit tells you. You're a holy people. And he's guiding you and working as you have God's word and sacraments. And so baptized into Christ, you know what God says to you about this life as you head toward death. The Father looks at Christ crucified when he looks at you. And so you have peace with God. Cling to Jesus because you have the Holy Spirit and he's at work. You are free to live in this new life in the assurance that you are God's children and that you will be his forever. So come, Holy Fire, comfort true. Grant us the will your work to do and in your service to abide. Let trials turn us not aside. Lord, by your power prepare each heart and to our weakness strength impart, that bravely here we may contend through life and death to you our Lord ascend. Alleluia, alleluia. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.